Hey, Smutters.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
There it is. Okay, well, you know.
So, I'm watching Baywatch. Yes, this is a good movie. And plus, it doesn't hurt that Alexandria is in it.
Alexandria?
Or whatever her name is.
I think that's your new, like, obsession right now is Alexandra Daddario.
Yeah.
Which, she's amazing. I love her, and we're best friends. But yes, this is take two of this show, y'all. I'm sorry it's coming out late. We woke up early this morning so we could re-record it, because after we got done last night and we kind of listened to it, the sound quality was just really bad, and I wanted you to hear the whole story. So we decided to postpone it for a few hours and get up this morning and redo it. So.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Now, how has your week been?
It's been a week.
Mine has been okay. We have, 8 more days till Halloween, Halloween, Halloween.
You can't sing that song. You didn't finish the movie.
Oh, yes. Troy got me to watch Halloween 3. Is it Season of the Witch?
Yes.
Season of the Witch. And they sing that song constantly in that movie. And it's a really good movie. But, of course, I just could not stay awake. So, it was really good, though. But, fun fact, it does not have Michael Myers in it. So, if you ever decide to watch it, don't expect him. Because he will not be in it. But we did watch Halloween Ends. Finally?
Yes.
Yes. And what did you think about it? Did you like it?
It was alright.
It wasn't bad, was it? Like, some people just really hated it. But I didn't think it was bad. So, I'm almost 100% sure there's going to be another one, though. It didn't end, y'all.
The whole transfer of evil thing is kind of weird.
Shh. There's some people that haven't seen it.
Oh.
No spoilers. That doesn't happen, y'all. He's just kidding.
Yeah, whoops.
Okay.
I mean, even if that's really even what it was, I mean, I don't know that that's what it was, but, you know.
I mean, you're not wrong, because, you know, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, so tonight's story, or today's story, whichever way you want to take it, is
this weekend story.
Yes, Sunday story. I'm obsessed with it. I don't understand what happens, and, you know, it gets weirder the more you get into it, and Troy is stumped too. He doesn't know what to think of it, and, you know, he was trying to figure it out last night, and there's just really no way to, is there?
No.
Okay, so let's dive on in to
the
to the story of Olivia Mabel. And what we're going to do, guys, we're going to talk about Olivia. And then after that, we're going to talk about something else that is involved in the story. And I've got an experience with that as well. So maybe kind of a long episode, maybe not. We'll just wait and see. So, this is a story
about a man named Jed. Poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. Sorry.
Okay. This is a story about a beautiful, happy family. Travis and Olivia Mabel wanted a huge family. They dreamed of a nice house filled with kids, a place where they could play outside all day long. They wanted a big house so they could spend all their evenings together as a family. They were going to live the dream. As soon as they had their first child, a boy named Aiden, they bought a large house in Texas. Everything was perfect. Their plan was in action and going great. The family moved in 1983. They decided to wait a few more years for children, after Aiden, of course, because Aiden was their everything. They wanted to wait on more kids so they could give Aiden all the love and attention and anything he wanted or needed. Things were perfect for the young family. On March 13th, 1991, Aiden told his mom he was going outside to play. She said it was okay as long as he was home by dinner, which I think that was our role too when we were kids, right? Like, yeah. It was when the street lights came on for me that I had to be home. Or mom would stand out on the front porch and yell for me until I came running. So, that was his mom's one rule. Always be home by dinner time. Later that day, Travis got home from work. When it was time for dinner, Aiden still hadn't shown up. Olivia and Travis figured he had just lost track of time. It happens, right? He's out on his own little adventures, having fun, doing what he wants to do. No adults or anything. I would lose track of time. They decided to go look for him. Little did they know, it would be the worst day of their lives. They decided to check the pond, and when they got there, they found their son floating face down in the water. In 1 second, their perfect bubble of happiness was destroyed. Travis and Olivia couldn't take it, and they soon divorced. It just hurt too much. They couldn't live with the memory of baby Aiden. Travis wanted a new beginning, and Olivia couldn't have that. Aiden was her lot. He was her heart. How could she go on with that without that in her world? Travis eventually moved to Boston to forget. Olivia stayed in the house. She couldn't leave. That's the place that Aiden grew up. Olivia turned into a hermit. She stopped going to work, stopped talking to friends and family, and she completely shielded herself from the world. She even had her groceries and food delivered to the house, which, that right there, y'all, that was not a common thing in that day and time. Now, I mean, people do it all the time. There's DoorDash, there's all kinds of things, but we didn't have that then. So she literally had to find someone to go get all of her stuff and bring it to her. So that was very weird for the time period that we're in. People tried to call. They came by. They even wrote letters. She never picked up the phone or answered the door to anyone. Olivia's friends and family eventually stopped trying. They thought she just wanted to be left alone. Some thought she moved away, and some even thought maybe she killed herself.
I wonder if how her family felt now after that.
There's no telling, honestly.
Like, I would always blame myself. Like, I didn't do enough.
I wouldn't. I'm just not that type of person, though. Like, I feel like they tried, and, you know, Olivia was so down in grief that she just didn't want it, you know?
Yeah.
She wanted to be left alone. I've never been that type of person to blame myself over stuff like that if I know I've tried. Basically, no one knew what had happened to her, and honestly, they were tired of trying to find out. Fast forward to February 27th, 1994. We're at the Salina police station. They receive an eerie call.
All right.
When they answered, it was totally silent. After a while, they hung up. Over the next few minutes, they received 2 more phone calls exactly the same. The police were able to trace the calls. They all came from Olivia Mabel's house. Uh-oh.
Row, baggy.
The police decided to do a wellness check. When they got to the house, they noticed it looked abandoned, like no one had lived there for a while. The front door was impossible to open since it hadn't been used in a long, long time, so they decided to bust it down. Now, I'm going to stop right there because a lot of people, you know, when they hear that part, they'll be like, well, they had no right to bust her door down, blah, 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 blah. They were doing a wellness check, y'all. They had just received phone calls from that house. So, the police were worried that maybe she had hurt herself or she was being held hostage. Something had happened. So, yes, they did bust the door down. And I don't blame them for that. You know, I mean, I think it's more if somebody's home and they don't want you to come in is when they get a warrant.
I mean, I don't think that's an issue at all.
I don't think it is either. I mean, just
not to get too personal or anything, but, you know, when my dad had passed away, nobody knew, and they had to bust the door down. So, So that's something that, I mean, I'm glad people do that.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And I think it's more of they have to have a warrant when somebody will not allow them inside. Is that more? I don't know much about that, but I feel like that's probably what it is.
I
mean,
if they think so, I think if someone's in danger or something like that, they can.
Okay. So that's not weird. I just don't want people to be like, well, why are they busting her house, you know? So that's why I think it's totally okay. The police wanted to make sure no one was in trouble or being held hostage. When they got in, it looked like no one had lived there for years. A thick layer of dust was on every surface. The air was musty, and it hadn't been cleaned in who knows how long. It was awful, except for one room. It was Aiden's room. His room was very clean. Everything was neatly folded, and they saw Olivia sat in a rocking chair in a nightgown and slippers. She was holding a homemade doll made from sticks. The doll looks like a little boy wrapped in Aiden's clothing. And y'all, I have a picture of this doll I will put on there for you guys to see on Instagram. So now the story starts to get a little bit more strange, as if it hasn't already. Across from Olivia was an altar dedicated to Aiden. On the table was a child's blanket, photos of Aiden, his drawings, letters that Olivia wrote after his death, his toys, burning candles, flowers, an urn with his ashes. The autopsy said that Olivia had been dead for 2 months. But one of the letters was dated the same day the police officers came in her house and found her. Written in her handwriting, it said, "My Aiden, I am sorry. I am sorry. I should have never let it get like this. I'm living. I will not let you keep me, you vile, evil creature. Mommy coming to you, Aiden. My sweet Aiden. Mommy loves you." And that was what the letter said. Now, like I said, it was dated for the day that the police busted in, and she's been dead for a while. So, things on the altar showed that Olivia was performing some kind of an occult ritual. It was covered with notes with inscriptions in Sanskrit. And the words that they figured out written in Sanskrit were create and resurrect, which is terrifying. So now we kind of get the idea of what Olivia was trying to do. So, it did look as if Olivia was creating a tulpa. Now, if you don't know what a tulpa is, we're going to go over it after this story. Don't worry, I have lots of info for you. So, the question remains, who called the police from the house? Nothing was found in the house that could indicate there was someone outside. Everything was locked up from the inside. And keep in mind, everything was covered in dust. So, had they somehow unlocked a door or anything like that, there would be fingerprints left. I mean, clearly, just from the dust. There was no sign of anyone inside the house. So, it's all a mystery. Also, Olivia's phone was in another room, completely covered in dust. So, no one had touched her phone. It hadn't been used in a very long time. Also, who did Olivia call an evil creature in the note to her son? One of the officers later stated she felt someone else's presence in the house. She even said there seemed to be evil in the house. She now says she doesn't want to remember anything about that house. Now, this officer has asked all the journalists and news and everything to leave her and her family alone. She just wants to live in peace now and kind of just forget about that whole incident. The case resurfaced in 2005 because no one would buy the house. Everyone felt uncomfortable inside. They even brought in a paranormal expert to cleanse it. As soon as he walked in, he almost suffocated. He felt so much power in there, he could hardly breathe. He said the energy was different in most rooms, but all of the energy was negative. He even compared the evil entity to a child who has no power and is angry and is pitching a tantrum. It is advisable for people to avoid this house and all the property. Olivia Mabel's death is officially reported as an accident, and the case today is still a mystery. Now, that is the end of the story. So, I listened to another podcast about this. I listened to a bunch of podcasts about this because it just, it caught me when I first heard it. And one of them had said that Olivia tried to pet cemetery Aiden back to life, pretty much. And I love that term because we all know what happened in Pet Cemetery. The little boy dies, they try to bring him back, and he comes back as something evil that should have been left dead. Because once things die, they need to stay that way. So, now, the phone. Did you ever come up with any ideas for the phone?
I thought about that too, and there's just no explanation.
Now, Troy and I had a long conversation about this. We were trying to debunk this as best as we could.
Especially me.
Especially Troy, because he is my skeptic, and that's why this show works. Because, guys, y'all know, I'm like, oh, this is totally paranormal, and Troy's like, I'm going to figure out a scientific way for this.
Because I'm a scientist.
Okay, so nothing, we couldn't really figure anything out. Like, we were going through everything that was going on with the phone lines and everything back then, and it just didn't pan out. Like, and plus, nobody had touched the phone. There were no fingerprints on the phone. We even thought about one of the delivery boys that she knew, or delivery girls, whichever, coming by the house, but, you know, there was no signs of a struggle or anything. The autopsy, they would not release the autopsy report. As I said, her death was ruled as an accident. So, you know, we just kind of, we couldn't really figure it out, right?
Yeah, there was no explanation for it.
There really wasn't. So, now, I am going to help you with a paranormal explanation, though. Why? I mentioned earlier that it looked like she was trying to summon a tulpa. And for those of you who don't know what a tulpa is, because I know I sure didn't, I did some research, okay? And I'm going to tell y'all, this is very interesting. Now, a tulpa is a being that begins in the imagination, but acquires a tangible reality and sentience. Tulpas are created either through a deliberate act of individual will or unintentionally from the thoughts of numerous people. Now, when I say that, think about Slender Man, right? Now, Slender Man started as a story, a creepypasta story, but the more it got around and the more people that started to believe in it, we now have sightings of Slender Man. It's like they helped manifest it. They gave it its energy to become what it is today, I guess.
I still wouldn't do that stuff, though, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, they're... We'll get to it. The origin can be traced back to Tibetan Buddhism and was first described by Alexander David Neal in Magic and Mystery in Tibet. Tulpas can be like imaginary friends, but they are capable of independent thought. You generate the tulpa by powerful thought and concentration. You decide what it looks like, you teach it, and you give it its personality. You even decide what you want its voice to sound like. You give it everything, all of its characteristics, and then you teach it how to think. So, you know, once the tulpa gets all the information it needs, it's endowed with enough vitality to be capable of playing the part of a real being, it frees itself from its maker's control. Basically, you create your own hallucination, but other people can see its thoughtfulness through that person. So, the way that I read it, it sounds kind of like split personalities, except you can, you know, I'm trying to figure, you know what I'm trying to say though? Like, you can talk to each other inside your head is what I'm trying to get to. And I read a lot about stories where someone was like, I was sitting there and I heard somebody speaking to me in my head. It was not me, but I could answer it in my head. And it just, it manifests. It's crazy. But to make it make more sense, because a tulpa does sound like a scary thing. Now, when it was, I guess, created by the Buddhists and stuff like that, they didn't mean it to be anything scary. They meant it to be companionship. And it's also been proven to help with people with mental illness. It has helped people with depression because it's kind of like a better self of that person, if you will. And that's what a lot of people describe it as. So I have a little story that I'm going to read real quick. And it's about someone that created a tulpa. Okay. Now, there are more stories where I read about a lady and she created a tulpa and she said she made it look like Friar Tuck and it was a little monk and things were going great at first, but then it started to act out and she had to get rid of it. There was no more of him. And the way you do that is you ignore them. You don't speak to them and they just kind of go away. So let me jump into this because this one is a good, tulpa, because I don't want everybody to get the bad idea of them that they're just creepy little things that are demons. I mean, you know, but this is the reason why they were created. And it also lets the tulpa speak a little bit in this little tidbit that I'm about to read. So here, let's get into this. His name is Spark, and he has become fully sentient and independent within a few days of being created. I had selected his name and initial form from a drawing I made as a teen of a creature with electrokinesis. He is one of the most adorable creatures I ever drew, and I was motivated to draw him and update him from the initial design over the past few days. He has been wonderful at helping me think through my decisions and helping me maintain a positive mood in the face of life's challenges. Apparently, it's quite uncommon for a tulpa to develop mentally so quickly after being created, as far as I've read in my research. Yet here he is, a cute Pokemon-like creature with the wisdom of my nearly 30 years life experience and memories to draw from and a full sense of his self. We even switched a couple times in experimentation. We call it taking the driver's seat of the body while the other sits as a passenger in the back. No disassociative experience occurring, more like being equally conscious and aware while one of us controls the body. Maybe it's more so possession, I don't know. To us, we consider it switching, regardless of how this community defines it. I wonder why this came so naturally and why he was able to develop so fast. Then I realized that as a teen and in my early 20s, I had several tulpa I interacted with for years without realizing what they were. I genuinely believe these beings I interacted with were actually from other dimensions and universes, communicating remotely and I guess psychically with me. These tulpa, as they existed then, disappeared when I broke free from self-imposed delusions of a fantasy I thought was reality. I became agnostic about various aspects of things that led me down that fantasy delusion, and the tulpa that spawned from the delusions disappeared. Spark was among them, but the Spark I created a few days ago is not the same conscious entity as the original one. I just happened to decide that he should be named such and adopt the form of his initial manifestation in my mind, give or take a few new visual tweaks to his design, of which I have given him freedom to choose for himself. He likes his cute little form, as do I, so we haven't deviated much from his initial form. We are currently working on better visualizing him in mental space and trying to find his mind voice. As far along as his psyche is, he manifests mostly as a quiet, inscrutable voice that talks and responds to me regardless if I call for him or not, and we want something fitting and distinct so that we can make sure I don't confuse his thoughts with my own. Which is pretty cool. Now here comes Spark. Spark starts typing. Hello everyone. I'm a bit shy to use my host hand to type here, but I guess this is okay. Nice to meet other Tulpa like me. If anyone reads this and doesn't think I'm a weirdo or crazy person, thank you for listening. And that was it. So, I kind of thought that it sounded like it was another word for schizophrenia, kind of. But it turns out a lot of people do this. And it's a very, you know, a lot of people use it for a coping mechanism. Like people that don't have many friends, they do a tulpa. And there's, you know, there's ways online. It shows you how to make your own tulpa. And you can disassociate yourself when you feel the need to, or if you feel like it's getting out of control. So it doesn't come across to me as like a demon or anything else. It's something you make up in your mind. And there's also something, I believe they called it Neverland. And it's like a platform in your brain where you and your tulpa can meet. And it's just, you know, it's a different thing. And there are forums where the tulpas can talk to each other online. And they, you know, people are really into it. And it's called Tulpamancy. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not for me. And, you know, it's not for Troy. But, you know, as I said, it has been proven to help people with depression, with, you know, being more social. It's helped people with anxiety. It kind of takes over, if you will. If you have anxiety, it'll, you know, kind of jump in the driver's seat and help with that a little bit. So, you know, as I said, it's not meant to be a scary thing. It is meant to help, but it can turn into a scary thing. Now, I did read a story where the man married his tulpa and they had 3 tulpa children and the kids killed their mom.
Wow.
So that was crazy. But yeah, I really thought it was very interesting. And all you have to do is look up tulpa online if you want to learn more about it. It is T-U-L-P-A. There's tons of information on there. Again, it does tell you how to make your own tulpa, what you will need to do and all that. If that is something you are interested in, it kind of scares me a little bit to do that. I feel like it would get out of control. But if, you know, you are confident enough to do your own, that's great. Do your thing. But I hope y'all have enjoyed this episode. It's been kind of a, you know, short episode. But, yeah.
It's weird, though.
It is kind of strange.
And you can't explain it.
You can't, you know, you can't. The brain is a very difficult thing to understand. And I know the story was, I thought it would be a little bit longer, but it was pretty short. But that story just fascinates me. And I do feel like that when she made, when Olivia made her tulpa, that with all the grief and anger and everything she felt, I feel like she made a little tulpa of Aiden. But it turned out bad, because what parent wouldn't be angry if their child was taken away from them? What parent wouldn't be depressed? So just imagine what came out of her trying to make this tulpa, I guess. And also, you need to think about, we were talking about who called. Now, I was telling Troy that one of the first things a child learns about a phone is when you are in trouble, you call 911. If, you know, if you're in danger, anything like that, it's an emergency, call 911. Now, every child knows to call 911. But if someone actually answers, I mean, which they do answer 911, obviously. But if you're a kid, would it kind of put you in shock a little bit to where you wouldn't want to talk and just kind of freeze? Because I know I have had to call 911 before, and when they answered, it kind of, I froze for a second because I was like, oh my gosh, you know. But keep that in mind. And, you know, maybe he didn't have the energy or the voice or whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out basically the phone thing and who would have called. And I feel like it would have been the Tulpa of Aiden, maybe. I don't know. I'm still confused about how this works because, you know, maybe it took over her body after she died. I don't know. It's a strange case. So if you guys, you know, have any opinions, let us know. Send us a DM at Supernatural Smut Podcast on Instagram. We would love to hear your thoughts. I'm going to post pictures of the altar and the stick doll that she had. And you can look at that. I think it's got a little picture of Aiden on there too, so you can see what he looks like. I do not feel comfortable posting a picture of Olivia. But you can find them online if you look it up. There's lots of pictures of Olivia. But that is our story this week. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you guys stay warm or stay cool. This weather is crazy. Kind of back and forth. Yeah, it's been very back
depending
and forth.
Depending on where you're at.
Yes, for sure. And I hope you guys have a great week. Stay hydrated and make good choices. And we will see you guys next Sunday. Bye.
Bye, guys.